diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 257 of Fourth and John. I am Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Prime in the building. Today's show is really about, you know, a guy who's near and dear to our heart. You may know him as Brandon Brooks. You know, Brandon Brooks is a player who, you know, when he came in, he was like the perfect piece to the puzzle. Did we know he was going to become all world? I don't think so. Did we know his message that was pretty much, it was an off the field situation, would have almost the same amount of power behind it than his play on the field? I don't think we expected either. But overall, I just think Brandon Brooks is another player in the last decade where you look at it and you're like, you're so lucky to have such a player in the locker room. You're so happy to have a player that you can root for. You know, the Kelseys of the world, the Lane Johnsons, the Brandon Grahams of the world. Brandon Brooks has been his own, you know, he's just been his own type of dude, and just very refreshing for him to just be transparent and just be himself. You know, I got an opportunity to meet him at a practice. Very, very like exactly what you think he is like is exactly what he was in person. Like I didn't expect him to be the gentle giant, but he was just very cool, very laid back, took the time out to have a conversation, just very low key, but just like the biggest dude in the world. You know, just from all the different players on the timeline speaking their piece about how they, you know, what he meant to them. Just listening to him talk about Stout, like, you know, Stout, I've heard a lot of stories about Stout, but just that connection that they built in this locker room has been, think about that Super Bowl team, think about the connections that were made in that locker room and the results that you saw on that Super Bowl run. It had a lot to do with the relationships that were off the field. So you know, right off the bat, you know, the retirement of Brandon Brooks it's kind of like we saw it coming, but it's here. How you guys feeling today?
Hey man, it's one of those things that we kind of saw coming down the pipeline. But it's still one of those things it's a heavy day, even when it happens. Brandon Brooks is one of those guys that established himself as like the ideal type of player, the ideal type of Eagle. You know, obviously he was an enormous part of us securing a Super Bowl victory. The entire time he spent in Philadelphia, he's been a dominant guard for us. That right side of the line, Kelsey, Brooks, and Lane Johnson. I mean, that goes down as one of the greatest, like half of an offensive line in history, in my opinion, especially in Eagles history. That's some of the best that we've ever seen. Brandon Brooks is not only a tremendous player, but I mean, the dude is, for a man that makes as much money as he has, for a man that simply lives a different lifestyle than the way that we live as regular people, he couldn't be more down to earth. He couldn't be a more respected individual. And, you know, I'm super thankful for everything that he's brought to this city, whether that be the Super Bowl or whether that just be mental health awareness, whether that be just community outreach. He's done it all. He's instilled himself as an important part of Philadelphia. He's made us proud to be Philadelphians. And I thank him for everything that he's done, man. I mean, I wish him a very, very happy retirement. And it's sad to see him go, but it's one of those things. I saw a comment in here, like it was like kind of like Zach Ertz. It's a sad thing to see him go, but that's how time works. Eventually, it's just some people's time is up. And through all the injuries that he's come back from, dude, I have never seen in my life a more shredded offensive lineman. You remember when that picture came out last year when he was coming back? This dude, like, when he's got the pads on and he just looks like a giant bulk of a body, you would never imagine that underneath of that shell of the padding that he was as shredded as he was. And like, I think that his physical stature was coincided with it, with his mental toughness, man. I really think that he was as strong mentally as he was physically. And he impacted the city in a great way. And happy he was an Eagle, man.
Yeah. I mean, there really isn't much to follow up after all that. Evan, like you said, he's in the best shape of his life. I mean, he knows his body better than any of us does. It was just that time. I mean, he made that very clear in his interview today. The mental health, you know, definitely came out the light in the past couple of years. And, you know, he felt like he was a little bit, he felt like he was a little bit ashamed of talking about it. But listen, it was just like a big step in his life to go ahead and put, bring that out the light, because not only did it open up the doors for him, it opened up the doors for a lot of other people that suffer the same thing, you know, and here, you know, we're human just like he is. And we don't know, you know, what that's like. You know, so to go ahead and judge the man for dealing with those type of circumstances in his life, it was tough. You know, a lot of people were coming down on him, you know, because he wasn't playing the game. Listen, at the end of the day, he's a human being before football, and you know, he has to take care of himself. He has a family to go ahead and pretty much report to him every day. So, you know, that was a big step in his career to go ahead and make sure that all that was taken care of. And like I said, in the press conference that he had today, you know, he wanted to stay focused on that, and it was just that time. So respect to him to go ahead and go, you know, come out and call it quits. Like, hey, you know, it's time to retire. You know what I mean? My body's done enough. I mean, he gave the NFL 10 good years. I mean, he started off with the Houston Texans, came to us, and I mean, dude, if there's anything that I could definitely remember him, it was that 2017-18 season. I mean, he balled his ass off. It was one of, you know, of course, it was our best year. It was our Super Bowl year. It was our championship year. So, like, he put it all out on the field that year. And he had a great supporting cast. So, at the end of the day, you know, I wish him nothing but the best. I mean, again, the physique, he has it. We've seen it. All of us were surprised, you know, the condition that he's in. But, you know, he's got that all under control. He's good. So the time was right. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy who gave up 4 sacks in the time that he's been with the Eagles. Like, think about that. Like,
he played with us for 6 years.
Yeah. that's crazy. When you think about a guy like Winston Justice, who gave up, what, like 6 sacks to O.C. Umanure in, like, one game. Like, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, just his gameplay was stellar. I just think his vibe was just very – you know, he was his own player, and he did it in his own way.
And, sorry, I finish your statement.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to touch on, like, in the fact that, I mean, he had, obviously, he was a physical specimen, and we talked about all that he's done for the community and all that, but for the locker room as well, man. I mean, this guy, when all that stuff with Carson Wentz was going on, and, you know, we were on both sides of it at one point with Carson Wentz. But he always had the quarterback's back, man. No matter whether it was on the field or off the field, he always supported his guys, which is exactly the type of teammate that you want to have. He is a guy that will always have anybody's back that is his people. And, I mean, there's not really much else to say about this guy other than that he's a great – he seems like a really great person. Gail had the honor to meet him. But, you know, just living vicariously through you, he seems like seems like a great dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, I have a teammate in college who actually suffered from the same kind of anxiety thing. And like back in the day, like we used to think like, dude, what the hell is wrong with this guy? Like he would almost pass out before a game, like blood would be coming out his nose. Like you had to give him an IV just to like play. And we just never, you know, you're younger back then. You're just like, what's wrong with him? And then to figure out that, you know, he has the same, condition where I think they throws up violently, just like it's a tough scene, but it's definitely crazy. It's funny to think about like just like little things that he would put out on the timeline. There was a situation where he this dude had wrote him a message on Twitter. He was a Miami alum. He's a diehard Eagle fan just after they won the Super Bowl, and he's like, hey, he wrote him a letter, didn't know he was going to respond to such letter. So, you know, he's like, I want you to come to my wedding, Brandon. So Brandon reaches out and is like, you know what? I'm coming to the wedding. So, bruh, it just ended up going to the wedding, got in a flight to Ohio to attend this wedding. Like, he didn't just drive down 76 to get, you know, go to a wedding. He got in a plane. No. So, I mean, this is kind of what, you know, speaks to what Brandon Brooks, you know, he's like, he had the nerve to write me the letter. That's good enough for me. I definitely knew I was going to go. The thing is, I don't look at doing something like that, reaching out to fans, as an exception. I kind of wonder why it's not the rule, Brooks said. He's like, a lot of time because of who we are, we get put on this pedestal. Sometimes even when we believe that we are larger than life, and at the end of the day, we put our clothes on just like everybody else. It was really my honor to be invited to the ceremony. And that kind of like speaks to his vibes.
It speaks to how down to earth he is as a person too. Yeah. I mean, he hit the nail on the head. I mean, he talks about how a lot of these athletes, like all pro athletes, these guys that we talk about on a 24/7 news cycle, how we put them up on a pedestal. And it's true, because we look at these guys not as normal people. We don't talk about them like they're you or me. We talk about them like they are, I don't want to say an object, but they're just, we don't view them the same way we view ourselves. But for him to come out and just like, he wants to be recognized as a regular guy. And that's about as down to earth as you get. You know what I mean? He doesn't want all of the pats on the back and all. He just wants to be a regular guy. And I hope that this regular guy continues to live his life in Philadelphia, man. Because if he does, he's going to have free shit for as long as he wants, man. Drinks are on the city. Whatever you want, man.
He said he's staying. He said he loves the city. Going to the University of Penn to study business.
You can park in the middle of the street if you want to. I'm sure he loved that.
he's definitely staying.
Key to the city, man. He's got the key. He earned one of the keys to the city. Yeah.
But definitely wanted to give a shout out to Kiana from Golden Jean Apparel. She actually sent us some hoodies. You know, talking about linemen, you know, we like to run in Philadelphia. So a run Eagles run.
That's tight.
I definitely got your size, Prime, double XL. You know, they make them in white as well.
I like it. Damn, look at that.
That's clean.
So check out Golden Jean Apparel on IG. I'm gonna put the description in the banner in a second, but
Evan, yeah, I mean, like
huh?
Evan likes the white hoodies.
I do. Yeah. But I'm a messy guy too.
Yeah, that's why I said it's too clean for you.
I wear dark clothing for a reason, my friend. I've learned from my mistakes.
But you might get ketchup on that, man.
no tailgating in that hoodie.
there's something that before we get off the Brandon Brooks conversation, there's something that I wanted to touch on. And it's not so much Brandon Brooks as much as it is like everything that I feel like this is something that kind of gets pushed under the table. We know that Jeff Stoutland is a great coach, arguably one of probably the best position coach the Eagles have ever had. But this connection that Jeff Stoutland has with this offensive line group is truly special. I mean, you look at the guys that are the guys, the Jason Kelseys, the you know, Brandon Brookses of the world that were cornerstones of this offensive line, and the way that they look at and respect Jeff Stoutland, like they adore this guy, and it seems like Jeff Stoutland feels a mutual way. Right. And so like I really think that it would be a disservice that like we have to give Jeff Stoutland his props while he's here, man, because he's not going to be here forever. And the fact that we have him and he creates these offensive lines that are so dominant, and the connection that he has with these guys, it should be celebrated and should be cherished.
Yes, sir.
Now Jason says he needs a XXL in black. Check out Golden Jean Apparel. Kiana is really cool. Let her know we sent you. Speaking of being sent into a situation, I think all us Eagle fans. I mean, we got to talk about it. You know, we got to talk about it. I really want everyone to have their honest emotions out here. Obviously, the playoffs were this week. Look at the Eagles right there. We didn't make it out. We didn't make it out the gate. You know, the Bucks go on.
We got to the gate. We didn't make it out of there. We got to the gate.
You know, there was like, I'm gonna be honest, man. Like, you know, we're OGs. We've seen a lot of football in our time. It was the best weekend of football.
Yeah.
I've ever seen
in my lifetime. Yeah,
playoff football was amazing.
Yeah. Amazing football. I mean, like, I literally watched every single game. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember the last time I watched that many football games in just one day. And then it was just like, after the first one was done, I was excited to go watch another game. And then after that game, the excitement for another, and I stayed up watching that late game. So it was just like every game played to its potential and beyond. Like, I mean, all the overtimes and the game-winning field goals, like, it was just like, oh, shit. You know, so it definitely was a great weekend for some football.
I think it was a real eye-opener, though. I mean, Gail, like, I get kind of the point that you're getting at, where you are looking at this past weekend of football and you're comparing our Eagles, you know, to what's going on there.
Did I say that?
No, you didn't. But you didn't have to. But, like, I completely agree. This past weekend of football was an eye-opener as far as the separation between those teams that were still in it and the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, honestly, especially that Bills-Chiefs game, you watch that game, and we can all agree that there is no chance in hell the Eagles would have been able to get in a shootout with either one of those teams and go score for score. It's just not happening. Those teams are another level above us. But I will look at the positive side of this coin, guys. 14 teams made it into the playoffs. We were one of the 14. We're on the upper half of the NFL. We're not one of the top teams. We're not a top 10 team even, but we are moving in the right direction. We're a playoff team. We're a top 14, and we got 3 first-round picks next year. We can be in the next round of the playoffs next year. We can go beyond. I mean, if you do the right things with these draft picks, if you move it, I mean, Brandon Brooks – we're talking about him retiring. That's a huge weight off of the cap, man. There's a lot of new free money that has just opened up today. And to think that, I mean, this team can't turn it around after exceeding expectations this year and having a gambit full of draft picks, I hope that we can end up in the NFC Championship game next year.
Hey, I like the way you're thinking, Evan. But I mean, it's the truth. I mean, you can't speak any better than on it about it, any better than that. We're definitely not at that level. And yeah, I mean, just like I said, watching some of those football games, yeah, I there was no way in hell we were going to keep up with any of these teams that were playing. It's like you said, we're just hoping that the fact that we got to that. We got our foot into the gate. We got ourselves into the tournament, and yeah, 3 first round picks. It all starts at the draft, making the right decisions, making sure that we go ahead and make the right players, surround Jalen Hurts with the right team, with the stronger team. Hey, there's a possibility we could be in that big dance next year, or you know, a couple years down the line. But we'll see, man. That's where it all starts.
Now, the whole playoff situation, you know, obviously getting in was cool for me. Like, I was like something I was looking forward to. And I talked a couple weeks ago about the litmus test of where we are. And that's pretty much what it was. You look at that litmus test. It was a tough test being the Bucks. You get the GOAT and Brady in a tough Bucks team and a well-coached Bucks team. And you went into a buzzsaw. And then, you know, the next following week, you kind of, it took you about a week to get over the hangover. Like it took me about a week. Maybe that was because of all the driving, but I think I was still in my feels. But then when I watched the games, I was just like, I was so happy to watch these like really good games here. So I'm like, you know, but at the end of the day, after the games were over, I looked at my brother and my dad, and I was just like, there is no way. It was there. Like, I was like, there is literally no way we couldn't have kept up with these guys.
Yeah.
Like I just the way that we're built is not really conducive. Like you even saw Ursay out here really just trying to, you know, he's trying to
Carson's, I don't know, catching strays, man. He needs to put on a reflective vest because he just keeps on catching strays.
Like when your GM is out here like on the timeline just putting out, like, I don't know, but it is what it is. You said something about if you can't put up 30, there's no way you can compete in the playoffs, or your defense can't, you know.
That kind of leads me to my next point. I mean, like, let's look at these four teams that are still involved. I mean, there is one obvious sore thumb that is sticking out, and that is the San Francisco 49ers, man. I mean, you look at that team. Are any of you guys willing to say that Jimmy Garoppolo is an elite quarterback? Or that Jimmy Garoppolo is even better than Jalen Hurts? Their defense 100% is a league's better than ours. But if you can build up a defense that's that much stronger, they have a half-ass quarterback that this got them to the NFC Championship game, man. So, like, to say that we're so far away, I think is incorrect.
Yes,
I really think that we are closer than people give us credit for. We have to see how this roster looks after we put all the pieces together in a few months.
That's the interesting part is, like, you know, we don't look at just like the defensive side of the ball where, you know, like San Fran, they put up a solid game plan versus, you know, that defensive coordinator, D'Amico Ryan's in the house. But putting up a solid game plan against another GOAT in Aaron Rodgers. But like just seeing the way that they, you know, came out, like, come on, they lost in Green. Did anyone think that Green Bay would lose in Green Bay in those conditions against Jimmy G?
No, I wouldn't have expected that. But honestly, if you like look at it, like, let's just see how this entire season has kind of played out in Green Bay. I mean, obviously they were dominant during the regular season, but there was still controversy that surrounded the team. I mean, Aaron Rodgers brought it on himself, you know, for political reasons, but there was controversy nonetheless that surrounded this team and could have invaded the locker room. Whether that was something that led to the downfall of the Packers, I don't know. But the fact that this team that was as good as they were, a number one seed, and they lost their first game in the playoffs at home, I honestly think that says more to me about Rodgers' legacy than it does about how good the 49ers were. I mean, like, I came away from this weekend kind of looking at Rodgers completely different. I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's obviously a Hall of Fame quarterback. But just like Aaron Rodgers has been thrust into top five QB conversations throughout his career. After this weekend, I'm not sure if he is.
Oh, whoa. I mean, the funny thing is, because like you think about his resume. You think about what he's put on the table. You think about all the stats. Think about all the records he's broken, all Favre's records that he's kind of like smashed.
But the fact that he only has one
Super Bowl. He's got the same amount of Super Bowls as Nick Foles.
Yeah, That's what I'm saying, man. And it's not like he's had poor coaching either. I mean, honestly, I think Mike McCarthy was a good coach in Green Bay. I think Matt LaFleur is a very good coach in Green Bay. He's got weapons around him.
Think about this. Like, how much slander has McNabb caught for, you know, his shortcomings of like making it to the NFC? Look at Aaron Rodgers. Like, again, man has arm talent, man has whatever, but the whole idea of like his family not talking to him for some reasons or whatever, it started to leak out. Like, I'm like, why does man's not talk to his family? Or like, why does he have this? Maybe it's Aaron. I don't know.
But I gotta be honest with you, Evan. You brought out a point about like the fact that they were playing in Green Bay. I gotta be honest about, you know, my expectations. Like, had we surprised everyone and beat Tampa Bay, I wasn't worried about Green Bay. I was not scared going into Green Bay because proof in the pudding is that you could beat Green Bay in Green Bay. I mean, like, it can be done. Not for nothing, Jalen Hurts started off beating Green Bay in Green Bay last year. You know what I mean? Like, well, he played a great game in Green Bay. So they're beatable. And Rodgers, it just fell apart on those guys. So I definitely wasn't worried about that. But his legacy going forward, to only have one Super Bowl after all these records that he's breaking, I mean, like, yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I honestly think his time in Green Bay is probably going to come to an end.
I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that were the cornerstone of their team. They were the reason that their team had made it to the Super Bowl, and they've got multiple Super Bowls. And you know what I mean? Like those are guys that I would rank above an Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So
the funny thing is like, you know, obviously Eagle fans are still, you know, some, not all of us, but there's a faction of the Eagle fans that are heavily invested in looking outside this QB room for another quarterback. So when the situation arises, Aaron Rodgers, he's like, I'm not going to be part of a rebuild in Green Bay. A lot of guys could be exiting. So now everyone's trying to predict his next place. I've heard Denver. I've heard now Colts. I've heard, you know, like just overall, I've just heard a lot of things. But the fact that now Eagle fans are like talking about what could potentially be, I know that the Eagles are going to do their due diligence. You know, I think there's a reason why we have three picks. There's mm-hmm. like, they forecast everything. They know, they kind of like see what's coming down the pike. So there is kind of a reason why we have three picks. Would I love to use them all on defense? Yes. I would love.
But you got to see how the board falls too. You know, if Tyler Lindenbaum ends up falling, then do you go all defense? I mean,
defense and one offensive guy. Shout out to Adam. Yes, I will be heading down to the Senior Bowl. There's a lot of, like, this year there's so much talent at the Senior Bowl. It's incredible. I'm digging into a lot of players now. And, we could turn things around. Like, if we use all these three picks wisely, mm-hmm. like, you're talking about wide receiver, you're talking about defensive end. Like, we're long in the
linebacker.
Tooth. We're definitely not going linebacker in the first. You know, all of us would love to go linebacker. You know, everyone's talking about Devin Lloyd and Kobe Dean out of Georgia, but like, you know, Daniel Jeremiah put his first, one of his first mocks out, didn't put a linebacker, and people were like, "What gives?" He's like, yeah, well, yeah. "I mean, what about work for the Eagles?" I mean,
Mark Byrd puts out a good point. It's going to be a lot of talent. Would you trade a first for Marshon Lattimore? One of those firsts?
Well, if you look at his contract situation, I think he's owed like 27 mil.
It's a good thing we just got rid of 20 mil.
So, like, I think like they'd get hit pretty hard if they traded him. So, I mean, I obviously would love it. You know, you look at Cam Jordan, another guy who's 32, veteran, but he's still, you know, they'd have to, it'd be a June 1st cut for him.
When's Quan Alexander available?
I actually didn't look at his contract, but I know a lot of people have been talking about Quan Alexander. But I mean, that's we're like right now, we're like, I think we're all in our own mini GM mode at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Yeah. We got to try and get the word out to Howie and let him know. Oh my
god! You know how much? We forgot about this before we move on. Michael Thomas, anyone?
Yeah, Michael Thomas,
Slant Boy.
You got Michael Thomas. You got Devontae Adams. You got. I mean,
Quan Alexander's a unrestricted free agent this year.
Yeah,
that's a free agency thing right there. Yeah.
Because you look at the edges.
Barr is going to be available as well.
What was that?
Now I'm just thinking. Anthony Barr from Minnesota. DK Metcalf, was that rumors true about him being shopped? He wants out.
Being shopped, yeah. Well, I don't know if it's a rumor, but yeah, I mean, he now is talking about he wants out.
Man, there's a lot of talent that's going to be available. I mean, OBJ is going to be available at the end of the year.
Laviska Shenault's going to probably want out of Jacksonville.
I mean, you're talking about how many you can literally like we're going back to the playoffs a little bit. You look at the Bengals situation, a team that was in last place. Like they went from worst to not first, but they're the first in everyone's heart right now, because that so many people out here are rooting on the Bengals just because Bengals, and Joe Burrow is cool as fuck. Like that dude. And that's the thing.
There's another reason. I mean, that Mahomes' girlfriend doesn't exactly garner followers.
Was she like, well, the 2 years before she's like, get the cat. Like, I was like, come on, man. And then now she's spraying champagne on people, which triggered a lot of people on the timeline.
Yeah. No, it did. But like, I mean, she's sitting there from the stance of, you know, oh, well, sorry. I just want to celebrate my husband winning. It's like, your husband's not the only husband that wins in the league. I mean, does Giselle fucking spray champagne on people? I mean, there's a lot of people that celebrate their husband responsibly and don't. But
there was a lot of stuff that was going on. There was one KC fan that said, hey, bet me a grand to run out on the field. Man's just ran out on the field and in the middle of a playoff game, one of the best playoff games ever, interrupted, and then Diggs took him out.
Didn't get to see the end of that game. Feel bad for that guy.
He got a G, though.
He did get a G, but I'm
did he sure really get the G though?
And on top of that, like, how stupid can you be? Like, I could not even for whatever amount of money. It's a lifetime ban from the stadium. Why would you ever want to do that? Like, you could have said 10 grand. I was like, all right, well, I can't ever come to an Eagles game again. No thanks.
I want to know how that works. Is there like facial detection? Facial detection.
Probably if you buy a ticket, your name's flagged.
Well, I mean, you could fake it.
I guess, yeah.
Kid that got banned from the playoff game.
If I'm running on the field, it's with my helmet on.
Yeah, Prime
would probably be a dead giveaway.
Yeah, Prime is in the building.
But the Bengals are they are an exciting team, man. They got a really good offense, and honestly, the 49ers, I think that they're not being talked about enough. As far as like, dude, they've already got their next QB. They've already got Trey Lance just waiting in the wing, and they are heading to the NFC Championship game right now. I mean, Kyle Shanahan is a good coach. They've got a really dominant defense. And Deebo Samuel is probably one of the best gadget players I've ever seen. Like, Deebo's
a beast.
Percy Harvin and Cordarrelle Patterson, they walked so Deebo Samuel can run, man. Like, this dude's unbelievable.
And Deebo's a guy that I was crying for during draft season. Like, that, he was a guy that, you know, just like, because now he's becoming the new thing. Like, now you hear all these draft analysts like, oh, who's the next Deebo? Or who, you know, like wide receivers that can be in the slot, take a jet sweep to the house, line up in the backfield. Like, it's far and few between a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson is a guy that can do some of those things. But there's really not a lot of guys that can do that. So it's definitely
Cordarrelle Patterson can't do it at Deebo's level, though.
No, but I'm saying like guys that play wide receiver and running back. There's not really a lot of guys that actually do that, but you know, Deebo is like now the talking point. Everyone's like, who's the next Deebo? Like, that's actually raising the stock of some of these guys out there. So I mean, there's prospects out there, man. Like when talking about just some names to throw out there for people to start looking at, guys, go check out Jermaine Johnson from FSU. You guys ever see the Last Chance U on Netflix? It was actually on the Independence team.
Really?
Man went to Georgia and then transferred to FSU. A guy that, because we're talking about guys that are in our range. Like, he's a guy that's pretty exciting. I mean, who else? I've been looking at Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. We're talking about a guy that could come in here and be electrifying, you know. He could be a one or two opposite of you know, Devontae. We Evan mentioned Tyler Linderbaum from Iowa, talking about a guy that can come and could replace Kelsey if he's not gone. I think he'd be a great fit. Sauce Gardner, everyone's been talking about him. I think he might go higher, but
what about Booth?
You know, Booth, but I think both of them could go higher. I just think if you can get one of those guys, it'd be tremendous. I think
there's a lot of good corners. We're set up. Like, what about Stingley? Like,
yeah, Stingley's gonna go way high. He's not in our range at all.
You think there's gonna be three corners that go prior to 14 or 15?
Potential. One can slip. Like, so it could be Booth or Gardner, but I think there's a good chance that they go higher than our pick. We're in a good spot though.
Adam Michael Gibbs is speaking my language, man. What about if we went? What if we went Anthony Barr strong side, TJ middle, and N'Kobe Dean on the weak side?
We're just not going to go linebacker though.
Let me have my moment.
Not in the first round, at least. You know what I mean?
I was like mocking that self for my own personal like mocks. I was like, yeah, linebacker. Yeah, we got everyone extra linebacker. Now I'm like, bro, like I forget it. I forgot. You could literally draft two defensive ends.
You could, this,
and I'd be totally fine with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all. I wouldn't mind a guy in the middle, to be honest. I wouldn't mind a defensive tackle. But yeah, I would be down for that for sure.
Oh, man,
it's gonna be tough, man. But you know, it's gonna be interesting to see. The only thing that I'm like nervous about is that, you know, I am nervous that he's gonna fuck these three first round picks up.
Don't put that energy in the air, Prime.
I really do feel like, remember last year when I was like, I said there's no way they can mess this up. Like in the first round, like I was like, it's Devontae Smith or, you know, one of the corners. So, I mean, I think we're in a good situation where it's like, it's going to be very hard because there's a lot of good guys to select. I'm being honest. I really am.
But the good thing is how we have top picks. So it's like you said last year, how you can't miss, like we have three middle first round picks. Like, I understand people have their reservations about Howie Roseman, but like, let's be realistic about what these past few drafts have been. I mean, last draft I think was pretty good. Devontae Smith, Landon Dickerson, Milton Williams, Zach McPherson's kind of been yet to show anything, but Kenny Gainwell, Patrick Johnson, we got like five guys from the last draft that were making a significant impact on the team. Obviously Rager, you know, Rager's Rager. But we ended up getting our quarterback when everybody else was sitting here thinking that, you know, oh, what the hell are we picking a quarterback for in the second round? We got Carson Wentz. Well, now look at him. At least Howie had the foresight to see what was going on there at the quarterback position. Carson Wentz out here catching strays on 4th and John from Jim Irsay on the timeline. It doesn't matter, bro.
Hey, I think they're listening to him. I mean, we talked about Landon Dickerson in the second. If Stoutland gave the okay, I was like, I'm okay with it. Because I said, Stoutland knows. Stoutland definitely knows. Shout out to Rack Shack. He says, if Jordan Davis falls to us, we take it. We're talking about a big, beefy defensive tackle in the middle. You know, you probably can play nose tackles as well. But it's just like, I'm talking about a giant. Who's the defensive tackle from was Texas A&M. There's the Purdue defensive end, Karloftis.
If you're talking about drafting multiple defensive ends, would you be open to moving Sweat?
No. You know, I'm talking about
I'm talking about for more draft capital.
No. Well, I mean, they would. They just brought him in. Paid him. They just paid him. I mean, he's a guy can bend. Like some of these guys aren't like built like him, but like talking about just getting that versatility, you know, because we're basically Graham's almost out the door.
Yeah.
Barnett out the door.
Definitely.
We really have to fulfill the chamber. You got Ajabo from Michigan who played opposite of Aiden Hutchinson. He's a raw, talented guy that can rush the edge. He just doesn't know what he's doing at 5 years, only playing football for 5 years. That would be a nice, solid potential off the edge.
Joel Embiid's only been playing basketball for like 8 years. He's the best player in the league.
We heard Eagles Paris podcast, but bro. What
a Paris. Yeah, can we talk about one of the craziest things I've ever seen? Craziest stretches. Dude's playing on another level.
We got some other things that we have to talk about here. While we're on a hot topic. While we're on a hot topic, you want to talk about some hot sauce?
Yes. Nice.
The hot sauce come in?
Uh-oh. Rivera hot sauce. Rivera hot sauce in the building. Always like to get gifts for the group. Man's put popcorn in here and everything, man.
Oh,
man. Official. You know you could eat those.
Oh, bro, he even put hot balls in there.
Hot balls.
I'll save that one too.
hey, Ev, you want some? Ev, you want some hot balls? Ev? I'm going to. Oh my god, yo,
my balls was hot.
Yo, because I definitely wanted to. I don't know. I'm going to put this thing right here. It's called Rivera hot sauce.
Lewis, Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot. I understand.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Gail can't multitask for shit.
I'm doing. Wait till you see this.
That we gotta wait till you're done typing for us to see it.
I gotta put man's. You guys don't like. I imagine you kids at like Christmas. You guys probably like.
I was.
What's in the box?
Like, hurry the fuck up.
You're like, I'm opening my gifts like Christmas Eve. Wait till you see it though. Wait till you see it.
Hey, oh, what okay. The 4th of John branding?
Exclusive.
Wow.
Exclusive.
What?
Yo.
That's awesome.
Look at this. It's
I can see right now you ain't gonna have no problems going to the bathroom with that thing.
This is Rivera hot sauce. It's roasted jalapeno hot sauce.
See the hotness in there, bro.
I love jalapeno.
Okay, we're gonna put it up here.
All right, what else we got there?
Oh, I guess this is roasted jalapeno.
Oh, you suck.
People are going to hate this on the podcast. I'm sorry for that.
They're hating the fact that you take it forever to open the shit up. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, this is good stuff, man. Roasted jalapeno.
All the same. He just tells us it was all the same.
Yeah, we really appreciate you, Orlando, man.
Yeah, good looks, Orlando.
Thank you, Orlando.
Looking forward to that.
Can't wait to
try it. Gail, you gonna put the video together of you having this on the eggs, right?
Yeah, we're all gonna eat it. We're all gonna eat some eggs together with that.
Do we pull out the flat top for old time's sake? Flat top grill.
We could. He's written letters, says Orlando says, "Dear 4th and John crew, hello my friends. I've enclosed my very popular roasted jalapeno hot sauce with a special edition 4th and John label for all y'all to enjoy.
That's what's up, man.
Being such a diehard Eagles fan myself, I must let you know how much I enjoy your show, how impressed I am with all that you do for the community, especially with your amazing tailgates before each game. Hope to get out there next season, experience it first as well. In addition, I would, of course, have to supply you guys with some award-winning sauce to go on top of that awesome food you all prepare." Nice. Can you put hot sauce on steak and cheese?
I can make I can make buffalo chicken cheese sticks, for sure.
So he sent two bottles for each of us.
Taco Tuesday. Yeah.
Thank you, Orlando. I really do appreciate it.
Many of his clients love this particular sauce on their pizza, eggs, nachos, etc. Just got to think outside the box.
Damn,
my sauce.
Hey man, okay. I'll throw jalapeno on anything, man.
Look at that, man.
Taco that. Tuesday.
So I'm excited about this. I'm very excited about this. Real clean. We're gonna do eggs first, and then we also have to give a shout out to Jacob Walker. He has the New Orleans flavored hot sauce as well. So we could dabble.
Very nice.
Shout out to him and Tabby.
We're gonna. I guess I'll.
Now, are you hungry? Yeah, I said steak and cheese. I'm thinking, yeah. Give me a steak and cheese. Yeah, I think I want some eggs right now. I really actually want to go out and get some eggs. Maybe this is a sign. Hot sauce, Sauce Gardner.
Wow. That's a reach, but I'll take it. Like, that's something that I could get behind for sure. If it means Sauce Gardner gets on the team.
What a reach.
No? You didn't like that transition?
I thought it was a good segue.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty creative. That was very creative. So I mean, think about these playoff games. Who do you guys got this week?
Man, you know, I was surprised by I think pretty much the chalk stock answer right now. I think a lot of people are sleeping on San Francisco. I'm sorry, I got distracted. I don't know how this person got back in. I blocked them. I see a Chiefs and what's it called game? LA. That's how I see it playing out. Chiefs in LA, just based off the fact that I think Cincinnati is one more year away. They can shock the world. And honestly, if Cincinnati ends up winning this week, I'm taking them to win the Super Bowl. I think that they would beat either of these teams in the NFC. But I think KC is going to be the top dog. And I think Andy's going to end up getting another ring.
Hey, listen, no disrespect to Andy Reid, Uncle Andy, but, I like Cincinnati. I like Cincinnati against Kansas.
He said no disrespect, but
I like Cincinnati over Kansas City, and I like the Rams over the 49ers. And no, Evan, no. I'm with you. If the Cincinnati Bengals make it to the big game, I see them winning it, man.
Yo, so why do you guys say the Bengals? Because they're a hot team right now.
Offense is so high powered. So man. I mean, I understand that the defense, and you know, this could be me talking against myself, because ultimately when you get to the big game, everybody always says defense wins championships. I mean, you look at the Super Bowl between Denver and Seattle, when it was the best offense in history versus like the best defense in history, and the defense won handily. So like that very well could happen, but I'm just looking at Cincinnati's offense. The Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow connection is real, man. And that is going to be something that haunts the rest of the AFC for years to come. I love Joe Burrow's swag. I love the energy of this team. And I'm pulling for him. But, I mean, KC is a powerhouse, man. You got to get through KC first.
See, you know, all the talk of – I talked up Jamar Chase as being my number one prospect for us, like how great he was. And people, you know, he dropped the ball in like preseason, people calling this dude a bust. I was like, bro, like, did you watch the tape? Did you watch how dominating this guy is? And just his ability to just move people out the way, like, he's Debo. Play strength is amazing. I mean, how many 1,300 plus yards? How many touchdowns? I was just saying that as a freshman, as a rookie.
Yeah.
And then he
led the league with plays 50 yards or more
after a year off too.
Yeah. Yeah. And people were saying he took a year off. He's like, I'm like, did you watch the tape? Like, that's like, and then, you know, everyone's like, they better draft Penei Sewell.
Let's not mention tape.
Penei Sewell. I mean, bro, like I think that's a great tandem, those two. And Burrow is a serial killer.
Dude, yeah, I mean, ice in his veins type guy, bro. Yeah.
The connection that these two had going from the college right into the NFL, it just never stopped. Like, normally, you know, we're accustomed to that kind of like falling off, the transition from college to NFL. No, these guys, man, they just picked up where they left off, and they're killing it. The chemistry is just right now on point. So I'm sticking to it, man. I think Cincinnati's going to go ahead and upset Kansas City.
It's funny too how far Tyler Boyd has slid down that depth chart as well. Because like, he's a dude that, like, especially for like, Tyler Boyd was one of those guys in fantasy football that, like, he was so high volume. I would go and get him like every year. And now he's the third wide receiver on that team. Like,
yeah,
you got, I think, Higgins as well. It's just like,
yeah.
T. Higgins, another guy people, again, doubted. We did a talk to prospect on him, just saying how, like, yeah, like, why are you saying T. Higgins is gonna be a bad player? Like, they're out here balling. I think that's what we're talking about if we're going back to the Eagles, it's funny because like Eagle fans will watch the playoff games as they're going on and they're relating everything back to the Eagles. And some fans are like, could you just shut up? Can you just watch the game? But as Eagle fans, we relate everything back to us. But like talking about having the 1, 2, and 3, that is a 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you win when your 1, 2, and 3 looks like that. Jamar Chase is eating up double teams, beating double coverage. And Higgins is beating one-on-ones.
And I've honestly heard a lot of people too that have been complaining and saying about Philadelphia with the draft. They're like, oh, what are they going to do? Draft another wide receiver in the first round? Look at the Bengals right now.
Damn right.
Look at the Bengals did that exact thing.
Get your dude some weapons.
Now they have like the most elite wide receiver core in the league. It's so who's laughing?
Yeah. And that's what I hope we follow that same trend, man. We gotta go ahead and put some more weapons around that kid.
Mm-hmm. They do need an offensive line though, man.
Maybe you should put some hot sauce on the Bengals because they spicy right now. So yeah. Like that's okay. You guys are both saying Bengals. I think KC.
No.
He didn't say Bengals. I said
KC.
He would like to see.
I would like to see Cincy
in
there,
but
KC wins.
Yeah. You're
saying Bengals.
That's only me.
Okay. You could make the argument that they came off this incredible Mixon. Yeah, Joe Mixon too. Very nice. They came off this incredible game, right? Mm-hmm. How can they? They're on this high, you know. Got the QB's wife spraying champagne on people, and then they miss a layup this game. Could that potentially be something?
Look at Aaron Rodgers.
And then Joe Burrow comes out with his shades orange tinted and smoking a cigar. Like if he does some shit like that, I'm like, bro, like,
yeah,
okay.
I don't even think that Pat Mahomes is the X factor here, though. I think it's Andy Reid. Look at this guy has gone to, this is the first coach ever in history that has gone to 4 straight championship Sundays with 2 different teams. I mean, that's incredible, man. Andy Reid is like a top 3 all-time head coach. And like having him as a veteran, as a head coach, and you know, you're looking at the Rams and Sean McVay, he came into the league hot. He's a very good coach, but he doesn't have the experience that Andy Reid has. Andy Reid has very creative play calling. He's learned how to adjust for sure. And he's a very good coach, man. I think he is the X factor of this game, not so much Mahomes. Andy Reid's like play designs is like unmatched, man.
Oh, screen game? No one's talking about Andy Reid's screen game.
Love the screen game, man.
Yeah.
I saw one of his former, was it Jeff Schwartz lineman, who's like, he was like diagramming screenplays and how perfectly they're run to a T, and how everyone's in the perfect spot. I mean, they got playmakers for days too, man. Like, the Cheetah is on another level in terms of what is he running, like 24 miles an hour, dude?
Yeah, dude, he's unbelievable.
He threw the peace sign while
he was even with the dude, bro. Like, he knew he had him beat. He runs by people like they're standing still. It's crazy. I'm honestly glad he didn't get flagged on that either.
Would he get flagged on that?
Yeah, it's taunting.
What is taunting nowadays? I don't know.
I
would say peace sign to the face is taunting. I would call that taunting.
But Cheetah threw up the peace sign when the dude was like 10 yards in front of him. I was like, this guy is a psycho.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, you're 10 yards. You still got 10 yards. But he just flipped the switch.
But he knew. He knew that he had him beat.
Those guys knew they had that defense beat even in those last 13 seconds. I mean, I don't know if you guys caught any of the inside NFL clip. I mean, Kelsey was calling the plays, like letting them know, like, hey, listen, if this defender's going to play on one certain spot and they're leaving that whole gap open, just hit me. And look, it worked out for them. So, you know, it's all around these guys putting their input, and that's why they're back to another NFC championship game. And
I think the Dallas Cowboys could probably take some notes about how a 13-second offense moves down the field. You know, you don't just run it up the middle, and when you don't have any timeouts.
I saw that post. It was like, if the Bills just squib kicked it, probably would have won the game.
Yeah.
But you need, like, you did you really think, like, and the sad part about it, my shout out to one of my old coaches from college. He's the defensive, he's the nickel coach for the Bills. He's a defensive assistant. And we're like, every time the Bills play, all my former teammates, like, he'll post some stuff about, you know, pregame hype stuff with his family. We just always, you know, give him love because, like, yeah, he's our coach out here, and he's out here doing his thing. And the fact that they lost, everyone's just like, oh,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
I will give some respect to the fans of Buffalo, though. I'm not sure if you guys happen to see that post, them chilling outside the airport, freezing cold weather, yes, at 3 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm, to welcome home their team that just lost. That's some real dedication, man. That's real dedication. Is. Like, I give all my respect to that.
Like, Buffalo might not have, they got wings, they got Kmart, and they got the Bills. Like, the Bills.
Kmart. Yeah.
What do they have in Buffalo? We said they got Niagara Falls up there.
Yep. Yeah. Other things.
That's it. Yeah. That's about it. Oh, we got Cowboys. Cowboys fans in here. He says, whoa. You got to have timeouts.
Yeah. Dude, what is going on?
Ignore it. Just ignore it.
But yeah, man, I mean, we really just wanted to come on here to really talk about Brandon Brooks and talk a little playoffs. I know it was definitely a vibe. I know Eagle fans were, I think Eagle fans went a little nuts after that, right? People were after the playoffs were over last week, they just went in on, like, now we need a new QB.
Yeah,
man. Right. Was that pretty ignited?
It's the truth. I mean, they went into a whole different direction that didn't even need to happen. But, you know, yeah, I'll let you guys touch upon on that first.
I mean, dude, I honestly think that, and it's not just us, it's society as a whole. But we want immediate results. This quarterback, he's a 23-year-old kid, man. He's a 23-year-old kid. He's fucking.
How old are you? 27?
Yeah. 27.
24.
To both of you. But I'm saying that this kid, he's a fucking child, bro. He's capable of development. Fucking, I'm 27. I'm young. I'm still capable of development. This motherfucker's capable of development, dude. He's got coaches all around him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the argument that, you know, just the obvious argument where, you know, players can develop. Yeah, that's something and this is where I was talking about last week, is like, this is where the team has to decide, like, do we have patience for them to develop? I don't believe they have the patience for it. I don't believe they have the patience. I have the patience as a fan. Like, I could wait this out.
But you have other parts of the fan base that just doesn't have that patience. And, you know, trying to convince them, it's not even worth the time. But, like, it's like what you guys mentioned, it's the whole developing part. We got to give him the chance to go ahead and just get in there and get developed, because there, you know, he still has some flaws. I mean, we all seen that. And, you know, if he takes and Howie sticks to his word and surrounds him with the right personnel, the right team, and, you know, give him the time to go ahead and develop and fix what he needs to fix, hey, there could be a different Jalen Hurts come next season. And then, I don't know, you might get the same people that's going to end up saying differently once they, you know, they get better results from the guy. So,
but Prime, are we going to get, like, a Jalen Hurts fat head up on the wall, maybe?
I'm going to stay away from the fat heads, man, because it's like every time
you're running out of wall space, bro.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to my original, because, like, I'm going to go back to my DeSean Jackson days, because I got, shout out to my boy Millie J. Millie, like, my boy would go ahead and tell me, like, listen, he knows how I was. And before I put anybody up on the wall, they had to deserve their time up on the wall. So, like, when DeSean Jackson came into the league, he was great. And I even said it, I need to see a little bit more out of him before I put anything up on the wall. He earned his spot. Oh, Evan, you're killing me. But Booby, yeah, I mean, I put Carson up, and then look what happened. I put Booby up. He had a great and listen, I'm staying away from the feds. I'm going to go back to my tradition, man. You got to prove yourself to me. And, you know, then we'll talk about putting you up on the wall.
I got to be honest. I thought I was going to get put up on the wall when I touched one of Prime's helmets down there and we watched the game there.
Like if you ever got like
up on the wall, maybe through the wall. You
he gives you that look like he's about to beat you. You're like,
tranquilo, tranquilo.
You ain't shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm I think I'm ready for some playoffs this week. Shout out to Chris Malley. We will be getting our COVID test on Saturday. Nice. You gotta pass the COVID test to get in there. It has to be 48 hours. So we're very, as draft nerds, and like knowing that the potential, like this is what's holding back from you from being at the greatest event ever. So we gotta get that. There's a snowstorm coming.
Is that this weekend?
Saturday. Yeah,
weekend.
But the Senior Bowl is next Saturday. Next Saturday. It's really about all the practices. Like,
gotcha.
Everybody wants it because you're really just going down there to watch matchups, mm-hmm. like one on one, like crazy, man, crazy.
These two are going down there with binders, man.
Bro, I got laminated stuff already.
See,
bro, it's serious. This snowstorm is real.
Yeah, the snowstorm's real, bro. Because I'm moving this week.
Because Evan's moving this week. You're a little concerned.
I was, but I just took off on Friday to try and beat the storm. Going to end up getting a U-Haul a little bit early and try and move everything in on Friday instead of Saturday.
Well, best of luck to you, bro.
Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you. I'm excited to have the next show from the new spot, man.
Hey.
So do we have a new Philly residence? Like when we can't make it out of the city, we can just
We definitely do.
Yeah, you guys 100%.
Even if he didn't say so, we definitely do.
Yeah, I can't make it back to home. I gotta crash.
No, absolutely.
Are you gonna start? Are you gonna start the Evans cheesesteaks from?
Yo, you know what's funny is that we have a balcony, and we talked about. I'm not sure if you guys saw the story. I believe it was a guy that was in Philadelphia, but it was this guy that was making pizzas in his kitchen, and he had like a pulley system where he would lower the pizza down. I was like, I should make cheesesteaks out of my deck and just lower them down to the street.
Hey,
just put like a sign up on the balcony. Or
hey
something.
Man,
naked man with the 4th and John sweatband making cheesesteaks, delivering to the people. News at 8.
Yeah.
Hey, your rent will be paid though.
Yeah, yeah.
that's a good idea. But last words before we get out of here, Prime.
Well, to you and Chris, man, make sure you guys have a safe trip down to Alabama. You know what I mean? I know you two are like kids right now looking forward to that event.
Are you driving? Evan?
Yeah, he's driving.
Well, you're a psycho.
Evan, best of luck. Best of luck to you on your move, man.
Appreciate you, Prime. Appreciate
it. I hope the weather does hold up for the occasions.
You and me both, man. You and me both.
Other than that, I mean, look, it's division championship weekend. I'm looking forward to these playoff games. Like I said, I mean, I picked my winners. I like Cincinnati and LA. Everybody, you know, stay safe. Stay tuned because I'm pretty sure Gail's going to have a lot of content he's going to share with us during the week, especially with all these future NFL players that are going to be coming. So
if there are any players out there that you want me to look at or get video of, let me know.
Yeah, I'm going to holler at you because, you know, I want some of my Hurricanes. I want to see some of my Hurricane boys down there. So
do you think the dominance of a fellow Evan and Evan McPherson being drafted in the 5th round and now having the impact on the team that he has influences more teams to draft a kicker?
Potentially. Name Evan?
Maybe. Well, I mean, it worked out well for the Bengals.
I don't know about the tight end for Evan for the Giants. What's the name? Evan
Ingram.
Ingram.
Yeah. No, for me, like, it's one of those things that, like, this is the most exciting football of the year, but it's sad because we got 3 games left, man. It feels like, you know, during the regular season, obviously you have your great games and then you have some, your blowouts. And as you get deeper and deeper in the playoffs, the games get better and better and better. And it's awesome to watch, but at the same time, you're looking at it like, man, I've only got 3 games left to watch this season. So I'm really looking forward to watching these games, taking them all in. I've got no stake in the game, so I really don't even care how it ends up playing out.
I think you do have stake in the game, though.
Not cheesesteaks.
Cheesesteaks.
But yeah, the way I see it playing out realistically is KC and the Rams, and KC coming out on top. But the closer we get to that game, I might be swayed the other direction. The Rams are definitely a hot team, and looking at their cap hell that they're going to be in next year, they better capitalize this year, man.
Yeah, it's definitely all or nothing with those guys.
So if you if there's any time to win, LA, now's the time, because things look like it's going to be pretty rough from here on out.
Yes, sir. Oh man, I'm just going to go into this weekend just looking for some competitive games. Like after last week, the bar set high. Big shout out to the company, Viacom, CBS. Mm-hmm. You know how they were like so excited about the ratings. So I wish we can get more raises or something, because the ratings were through the roof. I would love to, where's the Super Bowl? CBS doing the Super Bowl this year?
SoFi. I don't know who's doing it now. I know that they rotate to make it fair.
That halftime show is going to be.
I'm saying, I need to call someone. Like, yo, can we get Super Bowl tickets for our department? Maybe. So I'm excited to see these
NBC
playoffs
this year.
Excited for just seeing these playoffs and better games. I would love to see an upset. Since he makes it, that would be dope. I'm excited for. I'm excited for Matthew Stafford. Dude won his first playoff game in his career.
Yeah.
How long has he been playing?
Dude, forever. And it's not. And he was in hell with Detroit. I mean, greatest wideouts of all time, and they couldn't get it done.
There's great storylines throughout this week. Cooper Kupp's been going off. OBJ's playing for something. Leaving Cleveland. There's a lot of storylines. If you guys have any prospects you want me to check out, shoot me a DM. We're trying to get interviews. I'm like running down like agents right now, trying to get the roster of guys that we on our Talk the Prospect series, trying to get interviews. So I'm excited, man. It's a good, even though the season's about to end, sort of. Mm-hmm. It's just about to begin on the draft season.
Exactly. So. I wish you safe travels, man.
Yes, sir, man. Maybe I'll eat at a Waffle House for you, and then we'll eat at a Denny's and get a Grand Slam for Prime.
Hey, listen, if you do that, take the hot sauce with you. I'm telling you.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. You should bring the hot sauce later. With you. The hot sauce with you.
You'll thank me later.
It could be a long road trip. He said it's not too hot though.
You could give it out to some other people too though. Let them try it out.
You want me to give away some of your sauce?
I mean, you got two bottles of your own.
Roast a jalapeno. This is I'm excited, man. Oh, so what are the first thing we eat? Eggs
with roasted jalapeno hot sauce. I would love to try some wings, honestly.
Taco Tuesday.
You put hot sauce on tacos?
Hell yeah.
Jalapeno sauce?
What is wrong? Did you really just shake your head? No. Are we about to go another 15 minutes? Are we about to get into a debate here? You said no? No hot sauce on tacos?
It's too much. Nah, I do like hot sauce on tacos. I gotta take that back.
I want to get some wings right now, bro.
Is there a difference between, like, I'm thinking like hot salsa, though. Like, there's a difference between hot salsa and hot sauce, right?
Yeah, there is a difference.
Well, that's kind of, I would put like salsa on like a
wifey agrees. I mean, we put lots of hot shit on our tacos, so.
It's like German Irish.
You know. It's like we put a lot of hot shit on our tacos.
See, who doesn't put hot sauce on? Thank you, Mark.
Right. So we have officially gone off the rails, and I love it when we talk about food.
Everybody else loves it when we do too. So you know what I mean.
But I'm now I'm hungry though.
Hey.
I don't know if we were ready for that photo.
I was trying to ruin your appetite, man.
Now I'm gonna go throw up. But yeah, man, let's make it awkward. Make the ending very awkward. You know? I see. We'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly. Look, this guy up in the camera. Fly.
Bye.
Eagles, fly. Wrong ending.